in the 30th and the last verses only. 95. Blessed are the sons of God. They are bought with Christ's own blood. 95. May be successful and that it may be used of him after this meeting is over to some perhaps who at this present moment is seeking guidance, seeking illumination, and may he be directed to give the right words in the right way so that the will of the Lord may be accomplished. Jack Wilson.
When that psalm was read, I almost felt like switching to tomorrow night's address, which is the burden of Egypt. And in contrast to Egypt's burden, that quiet stream which it used from the city of God. Well, instead of Egypt carrying the burden, perhaps I carry it at the present moment. However, I want to say a few words from Ephesians 1, Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, part of verses 15 to 20. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Well now, it's about that personal part of the prayer that I want to speak, rather. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love and to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you all. While this prayer is indeed of the highest order as far as doctrine goes, here is a personal part in this prayer for each one of us. A personal part with that word also, which seems to speak of that which is added to all that God's grace has wrought for each one of us. In this, I feel that we can hear something of the Apostle Paul's unselfish service. He was able to declare that wondrous ministry, the mystery of God's will, including that church which is his body, and then, over and above all that, making known, declaring this richest of truth and doctrine, the Apostle Paul labored also in such unselfish service, in so many ways which are over and above what we might consider normal service. There was the Apostle Paul giving it. I also. Wherefore, I also. And the reason for this prayer, of course, is this wonderful passage, verses 1 to 14. That wonderful passage showing to us the good pleasure of God's will, his choice of a church. That good pleasure of God's will, was it not also Paul's earnest desire to make known? You remember how he uses the word in Romans 10 verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire, his good pleasure, his earnest desire, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And with that motive, with that love, in the Apostle Paul's heart, how he labored in the Acts period to bring to pass this earnest desire which he had that all Israel might be saved. But of course, the execution of that wish was outside of Paul's power. All Israel were not saved. Israel turned aside. The condition for their salvation was the repentance of the nation, but the nation did not repent, and Paul's earnest desire toward them never saw in his day its fruition. The good pleasure of his will, now it's the good pleasure of our God, not the good pleasure of a great person, but the good pleasure of our God. And as we read Ephesians 1, we can see that this God, his wondrous foreknowledge, was such that he was able, in his will, to choose us, to foreknow us, to predestinate us, to grant to us blessing, riches of grace, beyond what we can ever dream of. And how strong are those links in the chain of God's wondrous will, forged to bring the believer right through to glory itself, as we read in that passage in Romans 8. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And yet, we are not glorified yet. But because our God is the God whose good pleasure was to choose us, that God, with his wondrous foreknowledge, forged links which take every one of us from earth to glory itself. Oh, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? His own Son loved us. His own Son poured out his life's blood that we might have that inheritance, that redemption. Why, even sin was unable to thwart the purpose of God. Even sin entering in amongst us because in Christ, redemption, forgiveness of sins, loosing from what sin has done, is assured for each believer. And so the Apostle Paul says, I also, over and above all this wondrous fact disclosed in the charter of the church, over and above all this, I also, ye also, have a part to play. And here I feel is that very personal part in the ministry. It's so easy to hear, to listen, to partake of precious truth. But oh, how much more difficult to put it into practice. That little word also. We ought to make much of it and see that each of us does that added part in this witness. And in this ministry, even prayer, we can from day to day pray mechanically, almost the same things, time after time. I believe, as part of this witness, we should seek out things about which we can pray. And I believe that as we seek out these various points to do with this ministry, the very thought that we are going to pray about them, seek after them, will be used of God to bring us into closer fellowship, to encourage us in the work, to lift our life and make it profitable for Him. Of course, it's not easy for me to say this because you might almost say, but where have you been all these years? It's a long time since we saw you at London. Well, of course, there have been difficulties, there have been problems, but your prayer and my prayer and the prayers of my wife have brought us through, and here we are again, rejoicing with you in this witness. And I can say that every time you've met here, our prayers, our thoughts have been with you. Now, this prayer is the first of three by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. Here, it's a prayer for the eyes to be opened, the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Is there a witness? Is there a ministry anywhere seeking more sincerely to open the eye? I know that unless God reveals, it's not a bit of good. How much is declared? But if there is a sincere seeking, a desire for truth, then here in this ministry, in all its written work, in all its spoken work, here is surely that labour of love that will enlighten. Or that we might make the most. I also, ye also, take part in this labour, in this ministry of opening the eye. Paul's second prayer speaks of the heart, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, a heart opened to the love of Christ. I remember taking the Bible correspondence course, that first course, the sacrifice for sin, the love of Christ shown in that opening of the Word of God. Or we can say, being rooted and grounded in love. Isn't it true that as we hear the ministry of our brother, of the two, of the written word, isn't it true that we feel that the centre of this witness is the fullness of Christ's love? And every time our roots are being placed in him, how that prayer has been fulfilled. Oh, that I also may help in this work, that ye also may take part in prayer, in ministry, in every way possible to foster this wonderful witness. And then the Apostle Paul's last prayer. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. A prayer for Paul himself. A prayer for our brothers who speak the mystery of the gospel. We come to our God in prayer. We come with all confidence. We come with all boldness. But we don't go out with quite the same confidence and boldness to declare this witness, this secret of the gospel. For here is a ministry which has not the gospel associated with Israel, but that gospel which is declaring an exalted and seated Christ. So many gospels, instead of lifting men up to Christ in his exalted and seated position, they are rather bringing Christ down to the level of men. Do we see this in this witness? No. Every time it is that secret of this gospel that our Lord has risen, has been exalted, and is seated, and with him the church. And that gospel is not easy to declare. I wonder if there is another man with such a witness who's been able to go on so many years without popular support as our brother Mr. Welch. And yet, throughout these years, he has ministered the gospel of the mystery of Christ. Oh, let us rejoice to belong to such a witness. And then the apostle goes on that, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, your faith, your love, faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, if that is our faith that makes Jesus Lord, then we have that faith which will bring out love in us and enable us to take out this message of enlightenment. If Christ be not Lord, as presented in Paul's ministry, then we can never declare, as we should, this wondrous truth made known by the Apostle Paul. And I wonder where my faith would have been without this ministry. If I'd have been left to my own devices, I fear I should have known little of dispensational truth, of the charter of the church, of all this wonderful teaching declared by the Apostle Paul. I remember as a young man, there were seeds sown by Dr. Bullinger, seeds which bore fruit, of which I was able to partake, but not until this ministry came along was I able to enter into the fullness declared here in Ephesians. Oh, I do thank God that this has taken place. There are some, of course, who would tend to despise having a teacher, perhaps because they are pioneers themselves. I can't say that I am. I rejoice that in this epistle it says that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some pastors, and teachers. I thank God for such a teacher. Why? This work is for the perfecting of the saints, that we might reach that goal that God has in view, the acknowledgement of the fullness which is found in Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, that measure might be filled up in each one of us, in our ministry, in our witness. Let us take hold upon these things, make them our own, and go forth with them in love. And of course, unless there is love, well, there can be very little cause for thanks, your faith and love. Minister in love. Oh, that the love of Christ might be in each one of us to help us in our ministry. Then there will indeed be that giving of thanks. Cease not to give thanks for you. Our ministry is without shadows, without symbols. We worship, we serve, without so many things which are to some essential to their witness. It is that faith declared here, a faith which is directed only and always to the reality, the person of Christ, which alone can lead us on. From that will spring love and service beyond measure. The apostle, he abounded in it. He gave thanks to God, and he said, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. But more than that, he also thanks God for every believer. Oh, let us not forget that side of it. I pray that God will give me fuller appreciation to ever live, giving thanks to him for all he has done. But as we do that, let us remember that all this ministry comes through the labour of others, through people, and for them, for their labours, we give thanks. We give thanks for the very character of the faith to which we belong. Here we are called into this wondrous calling, that the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation to acknowledge him. Or as it says in Ephesians 1:9, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Here is true wisdom in this faith which we believe, which we declare. Shall we go back on it? We can receive teaching. We can receive the literature, the tape recordings, the ministry of our brethren. But unless we acknowledge it in our life and begin to make it known, little more can come to us of this faith. You see, it's not dependent on the shadows, on the symbols that so many other religions can supply. It's dependent only on the acknowledgement of Christ. Or that we might acknowledge what we have heard, what we have seen, what we have read, and begin to make it known to others. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It wasn't the privilege of my wife and I to enter this holiday with the young people. My children were there, at least two of them. But there was a friend who took with him a camera, and he took pictures in colour. They were developed, and we had the joy and the thrill of being transported from the lowlands of South Derbyshire to the mountains of Cumberland. And there we saw all that wonderful panorama of mountain in colour, and our children enjoying themselves on it. Now, as you know, this word enlightenment is the word photizo, the photograph of Christ in our hearts. And unless that little eye had been opened, the shutter pressed, we should never have enjoyed all that beauty and colour. And you and I, we have a heart wherein this seed, this precious truth, must enter. All this witness, all this literature, we may say, is like the film which is prepared. And there it is, ready to receive the impression, your heart and my heart. I also, ye also. Is it part of us, this witness, this enlightenment, this glorious truth? Oh, I pray with the Apostle Paul that we may each one enter body and soul and spirit in all zeal and earnestness into this witness. Amen.
Well, I think we're very grateful to our brother who have given us this witness, and I feel that we can share with him the criticism which I valued very much that was passed on my ministry in the United States. When Mr. Isbell came, he said, I think I'll have to tell you what somebody said. He's criticised your work here, and I thought, here it comes again. But he never said a single word about dispensational truth. He never said a single word about right division. He said the criticism of your work over there is that your ministry is Christocentric. My, if that's true to the day I finish, I shall be a blessed person. That all the banging and hammering and arguing from one point and another was leaving an impression on some minds that Christ was the beginning and the middle and the end. And I have a feeling somehow that I'll have to criticise our brother too. That all he said and all he's left unsaid has still the same thought in mind. That it's Christ that matters from whatever angle it may be approached. You will see also at the back of the hall another part of our brother Mr. Canning's keen interest and activity. If you come at 2 o'clock, those racks would not be there. At 2:30, they are there and functioning. And we still have some more to put up. The idea is we want to give you every facility to see the type of our publications without having such a jumble sale as we've been obliged to have owing to lack of space. But of course, we know that most of you friends are acquainted with it, but we want everyone to have the access and make it possible to pass on to others as well as read yourself. Then, at the close of this meeting, we should not only give thanks for our afternoon gathering, but at the same time, we would anticipate the refreshment downstairs and give him thanks for that, so that when you do arrive there, you have no need to hesitate or to wait. You will discover that however you may feel about any one particular friend here, you cannot be distant from one another when you're down there. And you will get into a habit of balancing your things. Balanced diet is supposed to be very good for all of us. When you get a balanced diet down there, friends, then you must be watchful. But I'm sure you wouldn't have it otherwise. The great empty spaces are not things we value. We're only too glad for a little inconvenience, rather than we should have empty seats. So will you please not hesitate, because time is running, and we want to commence this evening's meeting as promptly as possible at 1:45, 5:45. The odd meeting time is because it just gives a little more opportunity for folks to go right through the meeting and without anxiety with regard to their bus or their train afterwards. 5:45. So shall we conclude this meeting by singing hymn number 2? Hallelujah! Who shall part Christ's own church from Christ's own heart? Number 2. Presence with thanksgiving that thy word has been opened and thy beloved son has been honoured, and we believe that if these two shall characterise our ministry until we stand in thy presence, we shall be a very blessed people indeed. We also ask thee to accept our thanks and to add thy blessing to the gifts which thou hast provided for us by way of refreshment. and may the opportunity to meet one another be seized and taken, so that their fellowship may be continued. It be with us again, we pray thee, during this evening's meeting, and when the day is over, may we not go away thinking about this one, that one, or the other one, but may our hearts be very full of the wonder of the love of God that is manifested in the gift of his Son. And these things we ask in his worthy name. Amen.